Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another post-season interview here for Big Brother 23. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am joined today by Kylan. How you doing, Kylan?
Hey, Tim, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing well. Very interested to talk with you. I talked for most of the season about how you were really one of you and Tiffany, really the driving forces of the strategy in the game. So I'm definitely curious to get your perspective on it.
Oh, I appreciate it. That's high praise. It was excited to talk about it, honestly, because there's so much nuance to the game. So just to be able to break down with people that got to see stuff and walk through some of it is really exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, can you just first tell me like how you got into the show and what made you sort of interested in playing?
I mean, literally for me, literally my best friend who I lived with for a couple of years, he was a big fan of the show for a decade and tried to get to me to watch the entire time that I knew him for like 8 years. And I was like, I don't watch reality TV. Like, I'm good. And then finally I was like, okay, I'll check it out. After one episode, I was just hooked, and I was like, okay, wait, this is a game. And the game concept stood out to me so quickly. Like the first episode I was like, I need to watch more, and started watching back old seasons and finished like six seasons before that season ended. And then just for me, it was just the game element of, you know, I was decent at like football and like, you know, not good at any other sports. And so I saw this, I was like, oh wait, this is a game of like, you know, collaborating, working, talking, plus physical competitions. It just was, I'm competitive and I love all of those things. And so it just seemed like the perfect mix of activities and something that I always wondered, you know, what it would be like to do it. And it was way harder, but even way more fun than I ever anticipated.
Well, it was interesting because like one of the things that that to me like stood out in your preseason stuff was kind of talking about how you wanted to test yourself in the game in some ways, that you wanted to sort of like to play and like sort of I don't remember exactly what you said in your bio, but it was something along the lines of like I want to like do it and see how I can like stack up, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was like, so I, like I said, when I saw it, I loved it instantly. I was like, this is something that I think I can do. And then, but then I was just like, well, let me find out if I can. And so I started applying and applied for like 3 years in a row before I got this year. And it was, and then, so once you're there, you're like, okay, let's find out how, if I could be good at these things that this thing that I thought I could be good at. And then, you know, first person on the block, I'm like, never mind, maybe not, I don't know. But then, you know, some other things happened that made me feel better than that first week did. So
well tell me about that first week, because you did initially have a decent bond with Frenchie, but then things went wrong when he kind of like associated you with Derek X. So the way that I saw it, this sort of series of events happened. Frenchie initially approached you about and you know, you approach a lot of people about the slaughterhouse and the butchers and all of that. And you guys got around to talking about Derek X. And at the time, Frenchie was very like Whitney was like really close with Frenchie. I mean, for as close as you can be after a day. And when he heard from you that Derek X was like not really feeling Whitney, that's part of when he was like, oh, I don't know about this Derek guy, if he's going to be anti-Whitney. He seemed very surprised by that information. And that kind of was one of the things that came back around on you, because you ended up being seen as being very close with Derek X. What went into that decision to reveal that information? Do you have a different perspective on how that went down?
Reveal which information, though?
The information about Derek X and Whitney.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, naivety, I guess, in that first week, those first 2 days before nominations, I was kind of like, just so excited, so overwhelmed, so happy to be there. And was just like, oh, everyone's so nice. And it was that first week also, I had a chat with Claire, actually. And she was just like, hey, you know that, like, I was like, yeah, everyone's so nice. She's like, you know, I think that your niceness is real. And they, like, it's important that you know there's not 16 of you here. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Oh no, people are lying. I just was like, oh yeah, I forgot. So then ended up doing so when I was just talking to Frenchie, I was just kind of collaborating or chatting with him, because I was like, okay, you know, this dude's in power and he is just a nice guy. He just seems like, you know, he seems very heartfelt and everything, and wants to make a big difference in the game. And then that naivety continued, because then once the slaughterhouse was like, okay, like we're looking at targeting Derek, I was like, man, that sucks. Like, me and him get along. And, but then I was also, maybe on the block, or no, that was before that. So, oh, that's what happened. I went to go hang out with Derek. So afterwards I see Derek and there's like five people and they disperse around Derek. And I just was like, we don't have to stay away from him just because like, he's probably going to go up. And then, so I just hang out with him. We go play chess. We're hanging out. We're talking. And I'm just like, yeah, like, oh man, in my head, I'm just like, damn, like this whole giant group of people just decided that they're looking at him. And, but I'm just like, well, it's, you know, just chat, because it's, why can't you still talk to people? And then of course that led to the conversation in the quarrel room with the firefighters. And then that's where Frenchie snooped in. And then he bluffed Derek into, you know, into admitting, us talking about working together. And and then, you know, all that, and then the week unfolded.
Yeah, you end up on the block, which obviously was not what anybody was expecting, I imagine, including yourself. How like, because this was such a whirlwind for us in week one, where Frenchie comes in and he's all about, you know, he talks with Tiffany and Whitney about working with the older players. He talks with the women about working with the women. And he's all about like people of color and women and older players. And then all of a sudden he's like interrogating you about your association with Derek X, and you end up on the block, and he's talking like he was being threatened, and it was like, whoa, like what was your reaction to Frenchie when he started questioning you like that?
Honestly, it's just overwhelming at the moment, because it's like, okay, we're in this game, and then we're having all these conversations that are going night after night to like 4 a.m. and they are stressful conversations. And I was like, there's no way that we're going to do this for 90 days, like, or whatever, however many days we're going to be in here. This can't be sustainable for any of us, you know, physically or emotionally. And so it was pretty much just a lot of overwhelm, and still was fortunate enough to like, keep having conversations, keep building the relationships that I had started in the house. Especially that, and that it was kind of one of those things too, where like that moment, I think back to everybody not talking to Derek and X and me talking to him. And like, that was part of us building our bond that I think, was, you know, one of the factors in addition to, you know, gameplay that had him use the veto on me after he won. And so that was, and he's just such a heartfelt guy. So yeah, there's a lot happening, but just trying to navigate it in the moment, learn on the fly. And then I had to remind myself, like, okay, like, let me you got to turn on, like when you're in the house and you got to stay on.
Mm-hmm. When was it that you decided, to yourself at least, that like Frenchie and this slaughterhouse thing was probably not going to work out and you needed to find some kind of alternative?
Well, I think that's kind of my, I didn't look at the slaughterhouse as like a, as a tool. I looked at the slaughterhouse as like another tool because there's three of us from the cookout, which we'd already formed. And I didn't look at it as like my backup plan. I was looking at it as like, okay, this is a tool for us to use to move Six forward. Mm-hmm. And maybe not everyone was thinking that, but that's what I was thinking of it in that moment. I was like, okay, cool. This is a great tool for that. And, you know, we have clearly a super fan, you know, a person that knows a lot of different strategies, maybe implements too many of them at once, but knows a lot and like maybe a strong player in this game, you know, or at that stage of it. So it just was like, okay, let's look at, and then you had, you know, other strong players in the alliance as well. And you had men, women, then we had, like I said, three members of the cookout. So it was kind of like, all right, this is one team. Then I have, you know, the queens, and then I'm sure that they're going to create other alliances, which I thought they were all doing. I guess kind of happened, I guess, with Frenchie's kisses. And now I know later Oz is, yeah. Right.
Well, yes, the Kingslayers and Jackpot.
And I was like, okay, people are doing stuff. And that's my thought, was that we'd all like do these things and they'd all be very secondary, and we would, you know, talk to each other about them. And then I was like, okay, wait, maybe we're not going to talk to each other about all the things we're doing, but we're still gonna watch out for each other. So I think there was that navigation, but it felt pretty, after the chaotic week with Frenchie, it was kind of like, all right, this is definitely something I'm going to have to look at, whether or not the slaughterhouse can be sustainable, even as a tool to move us forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me more about the structure of the cookout initially as well, because this is something that happens on day one. And it was never really discussed kind of like what the overarching strategy and structure would be, like what the relationships within the cookout were, and what kind of like overall plan would be implemented. Like all of that kind of mostly came later. It was mostly, from my understanding, the understanding that you would be looking out for each other. So what was, in your mind, the game plan for all of you? And did you feel like everyone else was on board with the same thought process?
I would say I felt, that everyone else, and I still believe, that everyone else was on the same page in terms of like, yeah, like this is an agreement. We're going to look out for each other. We're going to figure out, you know, how do we get, cause we all came in with the same individual mission in mind of like, oh, I want to be the first Black winner of Big Brother. And then we saw, like, wait a second, let me switch that. So let me just make sure there is a Black winner to Big Brother this season. And then started operating that way. That was my thought, was like, okay, let me operate that way instead. And now that I have a group of people. And so as far as structure wise for moving us forward in the game, there wasn't a super great one. I mean, me and Tiff and Chada had talked individually about kind of that nexus, the origins of the, as separate conversations, the origins of the duo concept, like, hey, like make sure that you're really close to someone. So when Frenchie called me out as a pawn and just like somebody, the person that you trust, I was like, well, let me, after the nomination, when I'm sitting in the room, because I was crying emotional in the back room after, we were talking about like, hey, let's make sure. I was like, this is something I can lean into. And that's what me and Tiff had already been discussing. And she's like, yeah, of course, that's what we can do. Make sure that if one of us goes up, it's not next to one of each other. And it was kind of loosely like that general concept, which I think people kind of come into the game and consider. But then, of course, it wasn't until that the start of that third week. And then Tiff was like, hey, like, OK, what does this actually look like in a structure format? Mm-hmm. What's the structure of this? And then that ended up being the master plan.
Yeah. Well, you yourself had a few sort of like unique approaches to the game. The first of which was, your communication style, which you talked about on the feeds. And it's something that I think was, perhaps in part what led to like the way that you ran your HOHs, which was like these, individual sort of one-on-one conversations. You'd also have meetings with the teams. I can tell you that that first one that you did where you were sort of like running through people very quickly because you're running out of time. People really loved that. It was very entertaining to watch a bunch of people cycle through. But can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, your communication style and how it impacted how you approach the game?
Well, I think I guess there's different levels to my communication style. It's like, I know that in general, because of my own, you know, neurological disorders in terms of like, just a higher level of ADHD. And I tend to have, sometimes I'll pause it. Sometimes I'll have overlaying thoughts and run multiple sentences at once in my head that makes it hard for me to communicate sometimes. So I was like, okay, I'm not in small controlled situations. I can usually overcome that pretty easily. But Big Brother is kind of the opposite. It's like, I mean, it's controlled. It's not controlled by us. So we are around each other 24/7. There's no escape. There's no real, and you have to be on all the time. So like none of us ever have had our brains turned on in so many different ways, at least myself, for that long extended period of a time, to where you're always thinking, you're always processing, you're always taking information from like everything from how people are talking and walking and wearing and et cetera. And so when I wanted to have the meetings, my main goal was like, okay, what can I, how can I get information more so? Because I was like, I have support from the cookout. I have support from other relationships I'm building in the house. So then for me, it was like, let me kind of specialize. And I was like, well, what can I specialize in? I can specialize right now in like collecting some information to see the layout of the house and the strategy, and having those individual conversations allows people to say things that they may not want to say in front of their teams. And that was kind of my process was, and I even had practice with Claire and Tiffany beforehand, before I started doing my meetings. I was like, hey, somewhere in this conversation, ask me questions and make sure I don't answer. Because I was like, I want to make sure I didn't get in the habit of giving information. I just want to get information because, you know, it's such a great, terrible responsibility to have to nominate two people and send somebody out. And so it's like, well, I might as well take the perks and the benefits of like, because I have that power, I can take in information without exchanging necessarily information. And so that's what I was trying to do. And it was very much that mindset of like, all right, let me get in the information. So when I see, that's why when Tiff was going over the master plan with me, I could see like, okay, these are dynamics that I could work with her on, like shifting some of those dynamics and shifting some of those people and the targets and the order and everything.
Yeah. It seemed like it was very successful in this first HOA train, but then in subsequent HOA trains, people were less receptive to it. Do you think that was to do with just like the different positions people were in the game, or was there something about it that you, like a difference in approach that you made? What are your thoughts?
Well, logistically, there was so many things different. That first week, that first HOH, we had a lot more time. So like, even if the meetings got cut short at the end, like overall, I was able to have pretty long meetings with people. That second HOH, so many factors came into play. I mean, first off, if we just look at timing, that competition went later in the night than some other HOH competitions. And then they also announced, hey, by the way, you know, right before that competition, Julie's like, we're going to have these new powers introduced tomorrow. And then on top of that, we're going to have a new time for a nomination. So they're going to be earlier. So you have less time because we're ending late. And then you have to have these conversations. And then And you have to make nominations knowing that there's these game-changing powers and you have no idea how they're going to impact the game until after you make nominations. So I was like, all right, this is cool. Which kind of ended up being a theme, I realized, of my HOHs, because like I was the first person in the six to win an HOH. Then I was the first person in the six to win an HOH, or first person in the house to win an HOH while there were powers. And then I was the first person in the HOH when we got to six. And then also, once we made it to jury, the first person to have their dual partner win an HOH. So it was like, I noticed somebody pointed out to me like a lot of, you know, pioneering in that sense. And so for that second one, it was just a shorter time and everybody wants to talk and everybody wants to figure out why they get in the block. And then on top of that, I didn't even know that there was this confusion going on within the cookout in terms of people didn't know that I had tried to throw the tippet for a good amount of time. So they were kind of like, hey, Kylan was supposed to throw this. Why didn't you throw it? And I didn't throw to Aza. Her and I talked about it. It was just kind of like at that time, I hadn't worked with her. We hadn't communicated. I didn't know where she was at with everything that was going on in the house. I was trying to fill her in on some of the things that she hadn't been filled in on yet. Cause I was like, hey, I think it's, if all these other alliances are fake and it's just about the six, why wouldn't we want to be on the same page? That was kind of my thought process. And, but we didn't get to fully get on the same page yet. So it was, so I was like, okay, well, me and Tiff are on the same page. Like, and we can talk this through. So we'll do, I'll throw it to her. And then I didn't even think about like hitting the wrong answer. Cause I was just sitting there and I was like, well, I was like, how, where should I put my hand? And I wasn't even listening to the song. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, she said the wrong answer. Okay. Well, so now I'm HOH. And then, so I didn't know these conversations were going on. So there's that chaos of, Kylan just wants to save Sarah Beth or something. And rather than, I was like, no, like this is, first of all, I wasn't even trying to win. Second of all, with these new powers, we need to rethink like what we're doing anyways. And we need to look at this structure and see who can make what moves and where everyone's at and what's the full structure of the six and moving forward. And there's just so many things happening in that same night. So I think that was definitely a part of it. And then also everyone had to play their role too, in terms of how much support or not they could show. And, you know, that's, I think we'll all have our difference of opinions in terms of like my conversations with, you know, Sarah Beth or Derek X, the people that outside the six that I had real trust with, like I spent a lot of those conversations usually building people up that were outside of my lines. Or at least, you know, going one step further than not targeting them, but telling them why they should trust them. And so, maybe not everyone was doing that at all times, as I've discovered. And so that also probably didn't help with the perception of my HOH, since there wasn't really as much support, in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, so just quickly though, going back to, the sort of the first half of the game, you know, we got through your HOH. It was very successful. You end up building the Royal Flush structure, which, is a bit more stable than the Slaughterhouse. And then heading into Xavier's HOH, what is happening here is that you and Tiffany are really solidifying your final two over these 2 weeks, essentially. And it's becoming sort of clear to us that you are the two power players in the game, and that ultimately, the game will probably come down to one of the two of you, and it was interesting because you seemed very interested in working together, which would have been obviously very powerful. Was Tiffany the person that you gravitated toward most? Because you also did have this deal with Big D very early on, and you were connected to Xavier. What was your when it came to who you wanted to work with within the cookout? Who were the people that you gravitated toward most, and what was kind of like the path of that?
I mean, my overall gravitation was to Tiffany. Cause it helped. We were on the team, so we were hanging out together a lot anyways. And then just on a personal level, like just had a really strong bond in terms of just so many different personality elements that just connected with me well. I'd say the second after that, was kind of me and Xavier in terms of he was having, during his HOH, he had said, you know, cause we already had the Royal Flush, and he was just like, hey, like, I think that if anyone had an unspoken final two, then that could be us. And that was one of my main things going to the game, is I knew, looking at Tyler's one of my favorite players, but then I always look at like one of the lines that Casey said in her speech was that, you know, I didn't make any promises I couldn't keep. And like everyone had a final two with Tyler, and he, from my understanding, is that they were upset because he made them. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to make these. So I'll never approach somebody an offer. And so that's why I had, you know, whether it was Sarah Beth or Big D or Tiffany, like they all came to me, but Tiffany and me, we just had the tightest relationship at that time, within the six. And so And that was something that, like, since I already knew the six was like my ride or die to the end, it was okay. Well, within that, then it'd be her. And so that's where like that relationship came up. And it's funny when you said, you know, seeing us as like that duo kind of power players in the beginning, because during the second HOH, when I was asking for like, you know, most influential players or in the game, and Tiffany said like, not including you. And I was like, no, not including me. And I literally was just like that. She was like gassing me up. Like at that point, I was like, no, like I'm not, I was like, I can't be, you know, a power player in the game. Like that's, it's probably you. And it was her. And then second X. And then I didn't know, you know, even in that moment, because I told her, but yeah, not including me, but I just didn't, that was more to protect myself. Cause I was like, oh, well, obviously I'm not even in that list. So going back, that was one thing I was going to say though, going back. So after we make the Royal Flush, but me, Tiffany, Claire, Derek, go to form the detectives in the have not room. And in that conversation, they are like, hey, how soon can we get out, Christian? And I'm like, all right, wait. So we just form this. I get what we're saying. And what I kept saying is like, it's important to get to the end before we start. Even if we're there with powerful allies, those powerful allies can help us get there. And that conversation for me was not to protect Christian, because I knew that I shouldn't say I knew at that point, we didn't have a master plan, but it was just because I was like, I don't want them coming after Tiffany and Xavier. And then hopefully I can become like a strong player too. And I want Derek X and Claire to continue to be like, hey, let's work together to get to the end with the strong players. And so it was just a funny conversation. Cause I was like, hey, all right, cool. Like, let's not immediately get out, you know, all strong allies. Let's go to the end with them. And then it ended up being, it almost caused like, that was kind of one of the starts of at least I know from Claire in terms of like, hey, like, why is he fighting so hard for like these people? That's why I came to Derek the next week or a couple of days later before peer pressure. And I was like, hey, I don't want to, you know, act immediately against them. But if you do take action, I will support you. I will back you. I don't want to, but I will back you, so you know.
Yeah. You eventually did come around to the idea of targeting the Kings. And this detective thing was definitely an interesting alliance. It's really, you know, when you think about like the alliance that probably would have been running the game, if the cookout wasn't running the game, it's probably the detectives.
Throw in Hannah, the agency.
Yeah.
When I was telling Chata, I asked about her for the detectives and for the agency. I was trying to bring her in.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So you're right about Claire starting to get a little bit wary of you around this time during Xavier's HOH. Not like overly wary. She still wants to work with you.
Yeah.
But I think she could tell that you were getting really close with Tiffany, and that you seem to have a lot of other connections, primarily with Xavier, who she was suspicious of. So she's starting to talk to Tiffany about like, I don't know how much we can trust Kylan, being pretty subtle about it. But then when you let Tiffany know that you know about Jackpot, Tiffany is like, oh, hold on. How does this guy know about Jackpot? What is SB doing? Why is SB telling him about? Well, he clearly has SB way more than I thought. And this is when things really start to go like into an interesting direction, the direction that, again, like, it almost like the entire game hinged on this night where she brings in the aces and they talk about going after the kings and Xavier and you know, she's wanting to limit your power in the game by taking a shot at them or SB. And then the next morning she wakes up and she's like, what am I doing? It's gotta be the cookout. And that's when she lets you know about the master plan and you know, everything from that point forward really follows that line. But have you thought about like where the game would have gone if Tiffany hadn't approached you that next morning? Like where do you think your game would have been?
My personal game, I don't know, because I was I was sitting in the same frustration with Tiffany. I was like, man, like, this is so much, it's great to have the numbers, but it's so much more difficult to move six people forward in the game at one time. But that was already the commitment. So I was just like, all right, I don't know how we're going to do this exactly, but I guess we're just going to have to bring them along. me and Tiffany were talking about it. And then, by that point, you know, I didn't know the extent of everyone else's, capabilities yet. So in everyone's relationships or not relationships, and there's some things you could see, and some things that we couldn't. So when we look at the game there, I think that could have been a six even, because I think that me and Tiffany could have collaborated in so many ways as far as like, if we weren't looking at six, then all of a sudden yesterday, I think she did an interview and was like, hey, it could have been basically the agency plus Sarah Beth, you know, to move to six or some other combination. So it's hard to know exactly how it would have gone or how it could have gone, in another scenario. But having that plan in place for sure helped us, have a framework to kind of work off of to move forward with, and then just adapt certain parts of it along the way.
Yeah. So from this point, you know, Christian wins the next HOH and you kind of fall back in terms of your sort of like, presence, your prominence in the house, and you mm-hmm. focus a lot on Sarah Beth, who is at this time focused on getting Hannah out of the game. And so it really for that week, you know, you're focused on maintaining this relationship with Sarah Beth, who is, and there's a little bit of tension there because she keeps, telling you like, why are you fighting so hard for Hannah? You're like, it's not that I'm fighting so hard for her. I just think that she's better. But this seemed like a very, like a turn in your game where, you're focusing on Sarah Beth, but other people in the Royal Flush are starting to look at you kind of sideways, like starting to be like, I don't know how long we want Kylan around. And it started to seem like, OK, like his influence, his hold on the game seems to be slipping. But only in the sense that if the cookout wasn't there to back you up, were you aware, was that why you took that route? Because I know that later in the game you explain, that, you know, you intentionally sort of like isolated with Sarah Beth at times, because that was your role and you knew that it was what was needed of you.
Yeah. I mean, really it was, So this is the tricky area for me, because it's like, really, it was that, like, when I looked at it, I'm very much a team person. The fact of like, all right, this is a team, this is the structure, this is what we're doing. Say less. Like, all right, I need to, right now we have this person that we observe as like a strong player, in terms of being able, Tiffany and I would talk about, okay, she's strong-minded. She is, capable of building like persuasive, strong arguments, and her allies are strong within the Kings. So let's make sure that we have as close of a relationship as possible, which for me was easy, because on a personal level, I really enjoyed Sarah Beth's company. And so it was like, oh, we got along really well. Those things align. So that worked out really well. And then the downside is that I didn't know since that was kind of everybody's job, I was like, okay, cool. So I'm going to close this person. Tiffany's going to close Claire, et cetera. Everyone has their person. And I didn't know that everyone wasn't going to be like in the same conversation where I'm protecting, Chada from Sarah Beth. If Tiffany's name comes up, I'm also like, oh, well, like, what about like, actually, this is who we should look at, or this is, and this is why I actually appreciate this person, as subtly as we could, in some cases more than others. And I think that I kind of had the expectation that everyone was doing that same thing, like not just keeping targets off people's back, but then also, at least not everyone, I should say, at least me and Tiffany. And so as I tightened up, Tiffany's a master, a master game player. Like she's, I think one of the best people to play the game. And at the time, I think that she, as she just said, I have influence over everyone except this one person. And Kylan has influence, but like, she didn't look at that as an asset for her. She looked at it as like competition. Mm-hmm. And so since she saw a competition, it was, she then, as any competitor, was making moves to remove competition. And so, whereas in my head, I was thinking like, oh, well, yeah, it's fine that you don't, because this is my partner that I'm working with, I have a relationship with. And then, so at that point, that's when, we started getting into later weeks of, I think week four is when she formed her final two with Chada. It was either week four or week five that she told X about me and her final two. And so but I didn't know all this because my faith kind of in Tiffany was kind of the same faith as in the cookout, but like as a game player, she was playing the game, which makes sense. And it just was, I think that was only the only thing that I look back in that people ask me about like regrets in the game. And it's like, no, it had nothing to do with anything that happened at six. When we got to six or before then, for me, it just had to do with WEP in like week three. Like I always look to week three or four. I'm like, if we could have bonded more regularly. And I think that I had enough information to know that that was needed. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not that way. For me, it was literally like we said, and it's done and I'm fine. But I know that I'm not like most people in that sense. Like whether it's social cues or whatever are different. And I had enough information to know like, oh man, like let me and Tiffany, let me keep building this bond and make sure that she feels good with me at all times. And that was, that's something that I look back and I'm like, oh, that could have been a pivotal time to do that. That way the whole rest of the game, we would have been, if Derek X was asking her questions about me, she would have been building, keeping that bond tight, or keeping me and Chada tight as a bond, instead of actively keeping us away from each other, or keeping me and like Claire or whatever. So it's just like, I'm like, man, like I should have known to have, kept that bond tight, because of how well we did work together. And I think I took that for, I just took that in stride with, or thinking that it was just something we could continue without needing to build upon it. That was definitely my biggest mistake, I think of.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big sort of theme for my analysis, at least in the first half of the game, was it really felt like a game of very capable and smart people. And it was mostly just about like who was going to be active enough, because there were a lot of people who came into the game, and Sarah Beth was one of them as well, like a capable game player, but maybe a little bit gun shy when it comes to like actively putting yourself out there all of the time. And knowing to maintain those relationships all the time rather than sort of like staying back and lying low, which I think, personally, I feel like is an overrated, strategy because it leads to things like this, right? Where, you end up not having the information you need, to do what you need to do. And then relationships can sort of like degrade, over time if they're not maintained properly. So is that you feel like you weren't active enough in that, and specifically in the Tiffany relationship?
I would say specifically just in that Tiffany relationship. I mean, the rest of the game up to that point, I was active. In that moment, I was like, hey, Xavier's going to work with Alyssa and Christian on making sure that target stays. I'm going to work on Sarah Beth to make sure that we don't target Chada during that week. And then Tiffany, you know, I figured she has a relationship with Christian. She has a relationship, with Chada, and they could kind of collaborate on what she could do. And then, obviously Chada was able to, have the conversations, with Christian that she needed to save herself and make sure that she got off his radar as well. So for me, it was just like, no, this is what I'm supposed to do in this moment. Like, this is the main thing I'm supposed to do is focus on this person, and everybody's going to, it's like a, you know, failing system. Like, everybody's going to slide into their assignment that week. That's how I kind of looked at it.
Yeah. And this is when, you know, after Whitney leaves, this is when you really start to, gain some control back in the game, with sort of, more precise, kind of, movements, I would say, as Tiffany has kind of turned most of the house against Sarah Beth at this point, you talk with Derek X, and you get him pointed more toward Christian. Now, how aware were you that like the whole house was against Sarah Beth at this point, more so than just Derek X? What was your like process going into this? Were you aware that you needed to do this work, or was it just like kind of like, well, I'm just talking with Derek X?
I would say honestly, I would say honestly, not as aware, because I did believe in this moment. I was like, we have this master plan in place, and I saw how it was a great strategic plan, and it just made sense to move forward with that plan. And so I was committed to the plan because it made the most sense for the six of us to move forward. That being said, I didn't expect anyone else in the six to want to deviate from that plan for personal reasons. So I didn't think about any, for me, I just was like talking with Derek X, and I already knew going back to week three when we had first formed the detectives that he was already looking at Christian. He's like, hey, I want to get out, you know, strong competitors like Christian. And I was like, okay, like I get that. So in that conversation, I would say that it was actually pretty, my view was pretty limited as far as like, because I also thought that, you know, I thought that I had the most persuasive person on the same page as me mm-hmm. in that moment. And that was, you know, my own obliviousness. So I was like, oh, like why we have the plan? Why don't we stick to the plan? And so fortunately that week, me and Derek X just had a good enough bond that we were able to move forward. And it was crazy. I didn't know until we were watching the show, this past week that it was saying this is Chada. When Chada said that his nominations popped up, she expected it to be Big D and Brittany at the time. And, because she knew that he was concerned about, taking an action kind of again to fracture her mind in his relationship. And so we actually had the final conversation before his nominations. And it was, I believe his final conversation before his nominations. And he was like, hey, this is what I'm looking at. And considering that we still had to draw players for the veto and we wanted to keep motivations down for Christian to win if he did get picked and honor Derek X's deals, it was like, this move makes sense. Like, honestly, like if I could talk, if I had won this HOH and you and I were talking through and you presented this to me, I don't know if I could do it, but I probably would have been like, listen, and Brittany or something, but it would have been, it just, the move made too much sense in terms of aligning with his priority of getting a king out, which I agreed. I was like, that should be our priority, getting a king out. However, like I knew that which king it had to be because we had already set up our duo structure. So I was like, all right, this is the one. And that is the nominations that I agreed made the most sense, like probability wise, to not have Christian drawn. And because Sarah Beth could also pick me for the veto. So like, it just, there were so many things that lined up that I just was like, this is the best choice if we want to get Christian out, from every perspective. And he was just like, are you sure? Like, he asked me if I would be on board with it. And I was just like, yes. But it was I wondered, I was like, oh, would he have done it if I said no? And he has said in the game and outside the game that he wouldn't have. And I was like, which I appreciate, because I felt that strong of a bond with him. And so that was pretty cool to be able to have, you know, to be able to have that relationship there in place when we needed it. Because if it wasn't there and we sent home Sarah Beth, then like the whole cookout plan probably wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, so how much of targeting Christian in your mind was about the cookout, and how much of it was, did you sort of recognize that it was good for you as well? Like, was it some combination of both, or were you just entirely focused on it being good for the cookout?
I really was just focused on being good for the cookout. I think that me and Christian from early weeks had a pretty good relationship. And I, from my thoughts, just on the personal level, and someone who in a normal game, like I could see also being, you know, if me and could be someone who, you know, I'd want to work with in another game, in another setting. So just because of how much I like him personally. And yeah, so in that moment, it was just like, hey, this is somebody who I don't believe is going to turn on the flush, at least for the next 2 weeks, and is a strong ally that can move us forward. But and that he would move forward me, Xavier, and Tiffany, like the three people I was like closest to. So I just was like, this could be, from my perspective, at least that's how it looked. And I was like, this is not a bad person for us to keep for our game. And that's why it was such a difficult moment in the vote there at the end, when it was like, you know, don't get it twisted. Like, I was like, Xavier, I understand. Tiffany, I understand. But like, there's no, I don't see any scenario of our plan working if Sarah Beth leaves and Christian stays. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have, that throws off the duo system. That leaves, as is often the case, if you're looking at, you know, past seasons, if one side of a duo leaves, usually the next one's a target. So it's just like everything about this, not only does it target me as an individual, which I'd be fine with. I did lots of things to make myself a target, like in the game, because I felt more capable of protecting myself than other members, and was very vocal about that with them in individual conversations. So it was kind of like, that was a whole thing that was, I was just like, hey, I'm glad that it worked out the way it did, that we were able to get, able to stay on course and put in the work that was needed to do that. And then move forward. And I think that that's, you know, a big reason why we were able to move forward.
Well, it's interesting because it did seem like such a clutch move for you at the time. I don't know how much of this you're aware of, but like Christian and Alyssa had really started to look at you as a big target for them, especially after you had talked with Xavier about using one of the kings as a pawn. And he kind of let that slip to Christian, who was like really pissed off. He was like, well, what is he doing? Why is Kylan talking about using us as pawns? What is he doing talking about putting us on the block? And they were like, this Kylan's got to go either the first of the flush or even before the flush. And they were talking about putting you and DX up potentially, which obviously still would have worked out probably. But it did seem I think from the outside perspective, is like this is a really clutch move from Kylan to push this on. Obviously getting Sarah Beth out is bad for his game. Getting Christian out is amazing for his game. And it also did coincide well in the fact that it also worked out very well for the cookout. So I was just curious about like sort of that motivation, but it makes sense because as I said, it works out for the cookout much more so than anything else would have anyway.
And I guess maybe my downfall is just the, and you can correct me, I know you're deep in the game, I don't think I had those conversations where I would play the game against the other members of the cookout before getting to the end. So I didn't, you know, and maybe that was naive to think that. I just was like, no, like I'm not playing the game anymore. Like we're playing something else. Like we're playing this team structure, and to where like my individual self like doesn't have to move forward. And that was, you know, from my first HOH onward, was kind of like my thought with every week was like, all right, okay, this is what I would do as an individual, but this isn't what we need to do. And so, you know, dropping those sort, whether it's the comment from Xavier to Christian and Alyssa that had them look at me, or whether it's, you know, anyone else's support or not support any moment, I think that all of us still did. I think I believe everyone, and I can't, you know, I can't ever know this, but I believe everyone was still committed to keeping each other safe as far as like the votes and everything, doing what was necessary. But I think that we all took different extents as far as what we were doing to watch out with each other, with the other relationships we were building. And yeah, so that was just something I was unaware of until certain things along the way. Mm-hmm. Now watching back or talking to people like you. Yeah. So that was a wild week.
Yeah. Well, so the vote actually came very close to flipping, when Tiffany and Xavier decided like, let's do this. If it had flipped, what would your response have been to the vote flipping? Sarah Beth leaves, Christian's still in the game. You know, I assume that you would have just voted. You wouldn't have been on the wrong side of that vote. But obviously, it still wouldn't have been a great spot for you.
Well, no, I think that I would have been on the wrong side of the vote because, well, I mean, assuming that they told me, I think that would have been part of our agreement, would have, right, been like, hey, as always, like, you know, allow yourself to vote for the person. But looking forward for me, I knew that, like I said, my loyalty to the cookout and to the master plan by that point was complete, was total, absolute. And so I definitely was looking at that week as like, hey, this is an opportunity for us to find out how good this structure, this plan is working for us. If the vote turns out anything other than 7-2, and I said this to people, then like we have problems, because that means that either A, somebody within us did not vote how we're supposed to vote, or B, we don't have the influence or the relationships with our partners to make sure that they vote how we need them to vote. And if that turned out any other way, like even if the vote turned out 6-3 instead of 7-2, I was like, okay, we're gonna have to relook at things. Because, and that was kind of where my mindset was at in that moment. It was like, all right, we're going to have to reevaluate things in terms of it. But as long as the vote turns out 7-2, I'm fine making sure that I don't win. Because I do believe that, you know, Sarah Beth is a strong player and really difficult to influence because she is so smart. And so I was just like, all right, that would be the plan. And then they announced the powers. And then so I was like, hey, I'm committed to not winning. And anybody can win that's in the cookout, that's not me. And then when they said, when Julie told us about the powers, I was like, wait, okay, these powers are going to impact things. We're going to have to reassess how we want to move forward. Who can win? And I was like, all right, well, I know that me, Xavier, and Tiffany all are on the inside of a lot of conversations. So that's where I'd look. And I also felt, even despite all these things that were happening, I still felt good. Also, I was unaware of a lot of them. I still feel good in terms of with my relationship with Tiffany. And she did, when she did win HOH, the first thing, when she did win later in week 8, she asked, she said, hey, like, you know, I'm pretty focused on Sarah Beth, but like, I don't want to make an emotional decision. I want to make like the decision that actually moves us forward strategically. Do you still think that's the case? And I said, yes. And I've asked her, hey, we could have had that conversation if you won at 6 also. And she says, yes. And you know, I have no choice but to believe her. And I do. So I, believe that conversation still would have happened then. And then we would have been able to reassess and figure out like, what is our move, our best move in this week, which I would have maintained was our original conversation. Going back to our original conversation, which was Brittany, because we were like, okay, the powers add such a delicate, you know, more complexity to the game. And so what do we need? What factors do we need to remove? And we knew that Brittany had, you know, everyone had kind of some sort of strong enough relationship to have influence with their partner. And we kind of noticed that Brittany was the reverse. her emotional, the relationship with Big D and with Azza, was definitely a big emotional, barrier for them at times that threw off other moves that we were trying to make or dynamics we wanted to build.
Yeah. So, your relationship with Xavier obviously is going to factor in, quite a bit once we get to the end game.
Yeah.
So it really starts to, I guess, get interesting here in week five. Again, this is around when, Tiffany is getting closer with Xavier. He is, he's not really pleased with you, this week. I think kind of blames you for Christian leaving, which he's not happy with. And he starts talking about how you need to be the first person to go at, once you hit six. Were you aware of this at all at the time, or how did you feel your relationship with Xavier was at this point?
I mean, I felt good in the sense that like we would have small like check-ins here and there, and both of us would just be like, yeah, like we'd kind of mention stuff like that. We'd kind of mention like, hey, obviously like, you know, the look within the six is that we're going to go after each other at six. Like that, I think was something that that's something that Xavier did. Xavier did a lot of things well, but his social game and his ability to like mirror the individual he was talking to was huge. And so when him and I would talk, like, I think that he knew like, hey, my best move here is to acknowledge the things I'm saying to Kylan, because he's said it in like a dozen conversations how much he appreciates like, hey, if you are saying that if you're saying something about me and you tell me about it, then I can trust you more, because then I know that you're doing this, or if you're having these conversations about me. So he would drop those little lines when we would see each other, and we pretty much stayed away, because that was always like, you know, my nightmare situations was to end up on the block with X because of just in terms of like the ability to win competitions when we needed to at the time, up until, you know, the end of the game, I saw it being him and I as far as like for that specific ability. And then when I had the, I think that I knew he was upset during the vote, because he had expressed how it was kind of one of the more like times where he kind of let down his emotional guard a little bit, is when he said that he was upset because he looked at it as everyone's supposed to have won. And he's like, you guys are looking at me as having Alyssa and Christian, but I'm looking at Kylan as having SB and Derek X. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I understand why you feel that way, but Derek X is Chad's person and they are closer. And I'm actively like always keeping even like trying to continue that relationship between them. And so I am on the same side as that relationship going forward. Between Derek X and Chada being stronger than my relationship with Derek X, but like, you know, not like not having a relationship, but I just really, like I said, for me, the team element was so ingrained in my brain that I really meant it. I was like, hey, like I'm not actively trying to secure Derek X's jury vote. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just literally like, this is my friend. I appreciate him. But like, I understand that as soon as he has to go, which is why like even week two, the second week of jury, when it was him, it just was, that was such an emotional week too, because I was like, okay, I promise you guys, I care about him probably more than any of you, but he still has to go. And it can't be on me and on Chada to fight for him to go just because it's so necessary for us.
Well, so I asked Tiffany this too, because, you know, when I look at Tiffany's game, it seems like one of the biggest flaws in her game is the relationships within the cookout, where like everybody outside of the cookout always loved Tiffany, like always wanted to work with Tiffany. And it was only the relationships within the cookout that she seemed to have trouble with. And I wouldn't say the same is quite true for you, but do you think that, you know, you talked about how you kind of, you didn't see Tiffany drifting away from you because you thought it was just normal. You also didn't see that Xavier was kind of just like, you know, keeping you in the place he needed to keep you. Was there kind of like a blind spot for the other members of the cookout for you, where because you just saw it as one team working together, you weren't thinking of them as or you weren't thinking of your relationships with them in the same way that you would have other players in the game?
No, absolutely. That's 100% it. That would be my biggest. For me, it went beyond. It was like, it wasn't just, you know, what's said, you know, or what's not, things that didn't need to be said, but it was also just like, oh, well, why? I don't need to focus on these relationships because that's not my goal. Like, my goal is, and I thought that was kind of all of us. That was a little bit, to be honest. And so for me, it was always just wanting to keep us all in the game, and then wanting to keep everybody comfortable in terms of like making sure that they knew that they had the votes when they needed them, regardless of how their relationships were. And so me and Tiffany's relationship, that was always, I was like, okay, you're number one, like, don't forget that. But like, so please don't have tension with people, because if they have tension with you, then it's going to have tension with me. And that's going to be, make it harder for us when we do get there. But like, it was so much in the back of my mind, because I was like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, it is, I said it multiple times in the VR. I don't know if I ever made it through, but I just was like, if I get blindsided by the cookout, like, before we make it to six, like, that is the way it is. Like, I was like, I will not see that coming in any way, shape, or form, it was just blind. And so that building that relationships for me is just, I assumed like, hey, this relationship with all of us is good. This relationship with each member is good. And we are not gaming each other as much. Like, and that was kind of what I thought. I kind of thought like, hey, we're not gaming each other until we get to six. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that wasn't fully true for everyone. I get it. And it's not it's part of the game too, is that, you know, you're looking out for your end game, and I don't think that that's anything besides smart gameplay. I think it just has to be more calculated.
Well, so in week six, you win your second HOH. And this is when the relationship with Azza really crumbles and never really fully repairs. And you know, part of this is the fact that you didn't throw the HOH to her. And then that conversation that you had with her afterward, it did not go well, at least from her perspective. And this was sort of one of the first examples, I think, in the game of your sort of like damage control not being super effective with some of the other players in the game. What were you aware of how bad this got for you?
Decently in certain things. And I think I was, but there's definitely confusion that kind of came to an understanding better. And I think it was when I think about, that conversation with Azza, like the first time that we ended it and she's like, okay, like, you know, I need to talk to this. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm the type of person that as soon as we say like, hey, this is fine, and like, we are fine, like, I mean it. And so that when we had the second conversation after that, when I was like, oh, okay, I've lost Azza's, like, you know, support forever. not like in the six, I felt very comfortable with her in the six, but I just was like, okay, like, you know, that's not somebody that I can go to the end with, which was worked because of multiple factors anyways. I would say that week six for me has been, I could feel certain relationships, but then I also was kind of like, well, at the end of the day, we're almost there, and I see a path for us. So what is it that we need to do to get to the end? And that's where I was kind of focused on I was like, I had already said, you know, I'm not looking after my personal game. I already knew that, like, from America's perspective in terms of like putting out Britney, I was like, this is never going to feel good for a large chunk of the population to see me put out like the sweetest girl in the house. What I didn't know was kind of like the element of gaming each other in terms of like, Derek X came to me, you know, after the veto, and was just like, And he said that later on, he talked to, or Tiffany was saying, you know, he talked to me and he said like, hey, I trust Kylan again, because he told me the truth when he asked me about like throwing the competition and why. And the part that she left out was that like prior to that conversation and a little bit after that conversation, she was still sowing seeds of doubt between me and Derek X, because she wanted to make sure that he was ultimately more loyal to her than to me. And then doing that same. So like when Claire, the whole thing, when I put her up and then like took her off the beat, it was like, hey, like I want to make sure that like, you know that this relationship is here. I was like, this isn't a foolproof plan, but I have Tiffany backing me. So like between me and Tiffany, we can make sure that Claire, it stays in the fold and stays on like, hey, you know what? This is odd, but like, I get it. And so I was genuinely confused for like, I was like, okay, there's no way like Tiffany couldn't persuade this person to stay, to rebuild the trust with me. Like, I was like genuinely confused. I was like, to me and Tiffany, like, how are we not rebuilding with Claire? Like, why is there still that block there? And now I know, because she wasn't fully trying to. Once again, you know, maintaining that supremacy in terms of like her relationships and the loyalties being to her ultimately over anyone else, which like is part of the game and why she was so good at it. But it just was, that was, you know, my blind loyalty there was a little bit of my blind spot and like why I felt so confused. I was like, okay, this feels like, you know, some of these relationships are this way or that way. I knew X was a little bit upset about the Christian thing, but then I also knew that like, or I believe they kind of got over it because he was very quick with like the vote, like when they took the vote within the six. And it was like, okay, it's 4-2. Of course, this isn't gonna be my personal game, but that's not what we're playing. It doesn't matter. This is what it is. And I was like, great. Like, that's how I'll be too. Like for anybody else, like that's how I would be. So that relationship, like I didn't know the extent, you know, in terms of that fraction. I think that, and him telling me, like I said, him telling me about like him being upset about, or him telling me about like, you know, wanting to look at me and him going against each other at six, was a factor that helped. And I think that Tiffany, that was like the one thing that, because we didn't have that bond, which like I said, is definitely my fault in terms of not building it with her, more tightly sooner. When he told her that, she didn't tell me. And she had her own reasons for that, multiple reasons. And so since she didn't, like, and I knew this, I think that was something that started to sow a little bit, like, oh man, I wish she told me, but like, it's all right. Like I'm still going to back her because I already made that commitment. So it is what it is. And that, you know, compiled into things that happened later on.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you talked about the Claire sort of move where you wanted to throw the veto in order to win the veto because of how the twist worked, so that you could be the one to use the veto on Claire instead of her using it on herself. But the throw was not the most subtle throw in the world. And this sort of I don't think even Tiffany could have talked her way through that one. But
well, that's why I acknowledge it too.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
So it's this week though that a few people in the game really start to be rubbed the wrong way. Oz is the first one. Obviously Claire being nominated, and then all of the veto shenanigans, the second one, but also Brittany, obviously, you know, felt betrayed because, she felt like she had made a deal with you, which is one thing, but also kind of, you know, some of the conversations that you had with Brittany, in terms of her campaigning, I think she felt were kind of like condescending and kind of like you were playing with her, you know, talking about like, hey, I would recommend not campaigning against me and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a through line for your end game as, you know, eventually, you know, Brittany gets sent to the jury. She has not kind things to say about you. She doesn't feel like she wants to vote for you. Aza, of course, has been upset by you. By the time Claire leaves, she's not pleased with you. Sarah Beth is very upset. And Chada feels like you were condescending. So a lot of people felt like their interactions with you, came off in this sort of like condescending and negative way. How do you, like, what is your response to finding out about that?
I mean, my response to finding out about that would be a combination of, I'd say I'm definitely regret in terms of like, I never, you know, want anybody to feel bad. Like that's something that, with all of the people I've been able to have individual conversations about, have been apologizing for and been, trying to express in terms of, that being unintentional in terms of, you know, making someone feel condescended to or less or anything like that. I would say that, but then the other side of it for me was, I was just, once we got even to that week six and that first HOH, I was like, okay, am I going to do something this week to get all six of us to the end or to make sure that I'm covered best as an individual? And what does that require? And in that, the fact that Tiffany and Xavier were ready to flip on our very solid plan made me concerned, because I'm like, okay, like if I look at it, for me, the three factors of the game are like the social side, the strategic side, and the competition side. And so after that, I was like, bandwidth is real in the house. It's very limited because there's so many different factors going on in the house. And I was like, all right, I would want to play a more well-rounded game. And I think prior to that week, you know, I was doing a decent job at it. And then after that week, I was like, I can't afford the energy of worrying about jury management or like my social game as an individual, because this is, I have to, as I just did that week, I was like, it's important that I make sure that like we stay on course with this plan. And so whatever function I can play in that, and just look at the six, just look at that plan, that's what I want to do.
One of the common threads, I think that we heard from, when it came to these players was, that a lot of them used the word unnecessary. They felt like, that it wasn't something that was necessary, for your game to do so. Do you think that that's accurate?
I think that there's no way for somebody to make that claim as, with any sort of objectivity, because the results speak for themselves. We got all six to the end, first group to ever do it. And no one has the ability to prove that if anything that I or anyone did happened differently, that we still would have made it. And so I think that that's where it is. I mean, Sarah Beth talked about this in terms of like, you know, that's a very important personal relationship with me. And so, for us to make sure we rebuild that, she had to express that to me. And I obviously had to, apologize, because it's kind of like, the way that somebody feels like it matters to me. In fact, she felt that like I wanted to make sure that there was, you know, some repair there, between us. And, but that was kind of the end of the conversation too. I said like, hey, but like, nobody knows like what exact, nobody can say like, it's such a game of nuance that like, there could have been one conversation that somebody had that was two sentences long that changed the entire outcome. And none of us could ever know that. And so that's, yeah. So as far as anything on the necessary side for me, it was like to have the focus that I needed to look at like the strategy side, to look at preparing for the competitions and everything, or, you know, see who, where we need to go with what, like it just took up so much of my focus that I wasn't paying attention. Like I have to be very intentional about my social situations because of like my own psyche and how I'm set up. So I dropped that, and then dropping that, I guess it did do things that made people feel like condescending and wrong. And that's, like I said, that's where I regret. That's where I apologize, because that wasn't my intention. It was just, without being as intentional, that was the impact, and that was regrettable for sure.
Well, have you examined sort of like, or tried to examine, sort of like, you know, a lot of these players, were played by, you know, every member of the cookout, but, specifically with you, it was, you know, that was, you were the person that they felt like it was unnecessary. Can you see sort of like why they might've felt that way?
I think that there could be different factors. I think one of them could be, you know, anything that I did. But then another thing that is very, there's a common thread in the, both inside the house and outside the house. It's easy for us to justify something for someone that we like, and confirmation bias is huge too, in all situations. So I feel that, if you look at the two if we're taking me out of the equation, we look at the most influential people in the house. And if they were having a conversation, you know, I think about having a conversation with one of my teammates in the cookout where, you know, I have the long one-on-ones and, but I had one where after intentionally, I was like, hey, I want to make sure that I'm not talking during this one-on-one. And it's really important to me that you let me know, like, hey, if it's going long or not, like, cause I don't want you to feel hostile. I don't want to continue that like narrative or that perception. And then they left. And then I heard them saying like, oh yeah, Kylan kept me up here all this time. And I'm just like, okay, cool. So like that little things like that probably add up too, to not build up, you know, a positive, positive sentiment towards me. And so I think that the combination of things I did and then the fact that like people I thought were supporting me supporting these actions that were not probably all added up to and but like I said, it doesn't take away because I still did the things that I did. It doesn't take away that at all. I think that I thought that there was more flexibility in there and more support in there than there was. And that just is but at the same time for me, I was never worried about it though too, because I was like, hey, this might rub somebody the wrong way, but I know that as long as it gets the success to the end, or as long as it keeps the focus and target on me, like that's okay. And that's always how I've been. Like if I think there was a conversation in like week two when I was HOH that I had with Chada, and I was like, hey, if next week I was like, I'm making a move right now and I'm going to continue to make moves to get us to the end. And so if I end up in a situation where I'm on the block and the other five of you can't vote for me to stay without saving yourselves, like don't save me, because I want you to. And Chada just told me yesterday, she's like, when you said that, I didn't believe you. And I was like, no, but like, I meant it. That's just how I am. That's just how I've always been. And so now for me, and with that same sacrifice, like it was just like, it didn't, my thought was just like, okay, how do I get forward and like not worried about myself in that sort of, I guess, relentless way.
So do you feel like if you had more support by your allies, or if you had been in a different situation, you would have been more successful in preventing people from coming away with that feeling?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think I wouldn't have had to have my concentration. Like there were certain things that were, I had to find explanations for things because I knew that like they wouldn't 100% work all the time. Especially, you know, we had such incredibly intelligent people, like really looking at Sarah Beth and Claire and DX and like Brittany and all these people. So Melissa, I thought that I was like, I know there's going to be a limit to their understanding. And so it's going to kind of take some support from all of us to kind of, which I did like when I was in HOH, I was like, hey, like, this is why they're saying that. Like I would always come up with some sort of reason. And now I see the game, I'm like, oh, they were just saying, I don't know. I don't know why he's doing that. Or, I don't. And I'm just like, all right, cool. So now I know why, but I think that when I look at the team that we have and I look at, you know, the other members of the cookout, it's hard for me to imagine that I don't know who's out there doubting Tiffany's abilities to persuade people and to persuade their emotions. So like, I certainly don't. So, you know, with support, like more support in those little microwaves I'm talking about, yeah, I think it'd be much different. And I think that, and would I have operated in the same way? It's where I'm like, I don't need to worry about like my social game because I do need to worry about jury management because I am playing the personal game. Then yeah, I think I would play it a much different way. That just for me, from as soon as we made the plan, I was like, this is where I'm at. Straight line. Don't need to deviate and look out for myself until we get to the end.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so tell me about these very long conversations with Sarah Beth. In particular, obviously, Sarah Beth ends up winning the next HOH, and she is looking initially to target Xavier, but you end up staying up quite late with her, and I can tell you from my perspective as somebody who watches the feeds all the time and is trusted to relay those feeds. First of all, why were you whispering? You two were up. You were the only two up. You were in the HOH room alone, and you guys were whispering the whole time. It was very frustrating.
We've caught ourselves whispering outside the house since we've been outside the house. We're like, wait, why are we whispering? Like, mm-hmm. You just kind of get in the habit of whispering. And then you also, it just kind of becomes second nature to where you end up whispering. That's for sure a big part of it. The other part of it is probably the what else would it be? Yeah, I don't have any more excuses of that for habit for whispering. But yeah, that conversation that I think we started at 10 or something and finished at 6 a.m. or mm-hmm. so, that was definitely probably the longest mm-hmm. for sure. And because it's such a game where you cannot have, that's the weird part about the game for the feeds too, is that you can't have what I think of as the best moves in the game are being able to have people, do things without you ever saying it. Mm-hmm. So like, that's why I was, when you were talking about like Derek X, like coming Royal Flush, like in all these conversations, I'm like, yeah, I had this conversation and like all these conversations to try and get his name to come up without saying it. Or when I was talking to Brent, when he came up with me and Derek X, and I was like, how do I get Brent to say, send Derek X up to the room and like just without asking that? And then how do I get, Big D to volunteer to be a pawn without me asking him, like all these things. So it's like, this is a, that conversation, with, one of the, strongest minds in the house, was such a delicate dance. And especially cause it started out, what did we start out with? It was like Big D and Aza and like backup Xavier or Tiffany or like it was like at least the four of them, I think, were all in question at the time as targets. And I was like, all right, those targets, most people to be up. And I was like, okay, this is concerning. So it was, us having conversations to move away from that. And the good part is that there were legitimate reasons for her own game to look at Derek X. And I think that, so it didn't come. So a big part of the game, it wasn't like mind controlling Sarah Beth. Like, she's too smart for that. Like, but it was just like, hey, there are these reasons. Now let's like really zero in on these reasons as to why we want to go this direction, with and have these pawns instead of these pawns. And fortunately, there were just good reasons for her to want to do that as well. So it was, just highlighting those, and that they just took a really long time. At least for me, it took a long time to do it as delicately as I thought it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is definitely sort of like the highlight of your game. This move, which unfortunately for you, wasn't even that good for your own personal game this time around, unlike the Christian move. But definitely, impressive work, especially because, while I appreciate that, there are reasons that she could have thought targeting Derek X was a good move for her game. Obviously, they weren't in reality true in many different ways. You really managed to really. She started the night. I don't know if you've seen this or if she's told you this, but she started the night saying, "This is going to be my HOH. I'm not going to let Kylan tell me what to do." You know, I'm not going to do things the way Kylan did things. I'm going to do what's good for my game. And then, you know, the next morning she was nominating the same two people that you nominated the previous week, which, a lot of the fans were like, oh, okay, Sarah Beth. I mean, obviously,
she made the best decision given the reality that they all had to work with.
The reality presented.
We create, you know, the team as a cookout just did a great job of creating a different reality for the other house guests. Mm-hmm. So in that perspective, mm-hmm.
I think then, you know, the rest of the week goes pretty smoothly. And you head into, you know, the following week, where she's in trouble because Tiffany finally wins the HOH and finally gets to take her shot at Sarah Beth. But you did continue to still have these, like long conversations with Sarah Beth. And I think, you know, without having talked to Sarah Beth, I think this is part of what she's referring to when she talks about like unnecessary. And I think that from your perspective, you were looking at this as like, a way of helping sort of explain yourself, before it happened. But there were a lot of like, just kind of, I guess conversations, I think that a lot of, people outside the house also were like, what is the point of all mm-hmm. of this? Because he's like, he's keeping her up, late, at night and like, having these long conversations. From your perspective, what was the point of it?
I mean, from my perspective, and she didn't, in our conversations, only she didn't bring this up as unnecessary, but this is the same thing I would tell her. And it was, for me, I was resting. Like it was, week five with Derek X, week six with my HOH, week seven with Sarah Beth's HOH, like was exhausting. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, now we still have that was, you know, Tiffany won day 51. I'm like, we still have, you know, hopefully 35 days left in this house. And like 30 of them almost are going to be without like one of my best friends in the house. And so, and they're going to know that like, they were, that there was this other group in the house that was working against them. So that was a part of, and I already have Derek X in the house on that. And I'm like, damn, like I just lost one of my best friends in the house. Now it's my other best friend in the house. I'm like, I'm from a game side, I could rest. Cause I could see the path to the end. I was like, okay, well, obviously, you know, Sarah Beth, if she doesn't lose veto, and if she does, then somebody else, like we have enough control. I'm like, we're going to accomplish our goal. Like, I don't know about, at that point, I felt pretty good about all six of us. I was like, I think we have the team to beat the three people left in the house at the competitions needed, which we did. And so it was kind of like, all right, we're going to make it to the end. I just, you know, had these 3 weeks of maxing out all, you know, mental, emotional, physical energy. I'm going to rest and I'm going to hang out with my friend who's not going to be here for the, because days last so long, even though it feels like, you know, that's, you know, week seven and we had 12 weeks or whatever, it's like those weeks feel like a month. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna have what feels like months without this friend, and they're gonna feel betrayed. I'm like, let me just let them know how much I care about them as a person. And so it was very like personal in that sense. And I was like, and then for me also, my relationship with the other people, I was like, okay, well, Claire is Tiffany's person. I'm not gonna build with her because like me and Tiffany might be at the end, and I think that part of our whole strategy is that Tiffany should have Claire's vote. And same thing for Alyssa. I was like, Alyssa should be voting for Xavier if he makes it to the end. And like I said, by that point too, I also felt good about my relationship with Tiffany and Xavier a little bit naively with how good they were. I thought they were more good than they were. And then I was just like, the other members of Cookout are going to be here. We're all going to be hanging out. I'm going to have time with them. I'm not going to have time with this friend. And this friend is about to be hurt, not just by being sent home, but then also by, you know, discovering that I'm part of that. So, it was very like I just felt good with the rest of the relationships in the game. Cause like I said, the six, I'm like, that's automatic in my head. I didn't know, like I said, the level of gaming that was happening within the six. So I just was like, oh, like I don't need to start like, you know, hardcore gaming. And like, I spent some time talking to Chad a little bit more because we hadn't talked as much. Me and X started having some conversations because, like I said, he was somebody that just as a weapon for the six, besides myself, I really stayed away from, because I was like, all right, I have an excuse to hang out with Tiffany because we're in the Queens. I have no excuse to hang out with Xavier. I don't want us to ever be associated together. So then I started having, you know, learning about him a little bit, but most of my time was with Sarah Beth just because I was like, she's about to leave. And this is my opportunity to hang out with my friend and to hopefully make her last week enjoyable and to figure out what can do that. And so part of that was, you know, the conversation about libido, like finding out that she's like, hey, I actually would feel less stressed if libido is used on Xavier. I'm like, all right, like, that makes sense. And then I actually would feel, you know, this and that. And so, and then me trying to prep her, like she, this is my own downfall in my brain, like not thinking the way other people does, I guess sometimes. Cause when she was saying, when I was talking to her about like the secret alliance and stuff, she felt like in hindsight, she's like, oh, I thought you were like toying with me. I was like, no, like I would never tell like, you know, you're one of my best friends. Like I literally was trying to find a way to subtly like get in your head so that way when you got out of the house, it would come to you quickly and you wouldn't just be in the jury house confused. You'd be like, oh shoot, like this all makes sense now. And that was my perspective. And I see her perspective too, which totally makes sense. You know, possibly even more, probably more. So I just was, that was my motivations in that week. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that like when you talked about the alliance, I think you seemed, I mean, and you should be proud, but you, I think you seemed, it came off as sort of like, I'm very proud of this rather than like, sort of like, I feel very bad about what, you know, you're going to find out, you know?
Wait, are you talking about proud of it in the conversation with her or in the goodbye message?
Yeah, in the conversations with her about like, and because you were asking about like, has an Alliance of Six made it to six before? And like, how legendary would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's the whole thing of like, multiple things can be true at once. Like, I'm very proud of what we did. And I was very excited to know that like, this person who I consider a great, like, you know, a strong mind in the house. I'm like, in fact, she doesn't know. Like, I'm like, and all, everyone else doesn't know. I'm like, I'm very proud of that fact. And then simultaneously it was, like I said, just the preparation in terms of like, all right, I don't want you to leave here and be confused. Let me give you the clues that you need to put this together. Like when you leave, so that way you're not just left scratching your head.
Mm-hmm. You also, this week when Chata wins the veto, you, and she lets you know that she wants it to be used on, or wants to use it on Xavier. You tried pitching that it should be used on yourself. And this is something that, very much upset, members of the cookout, particularly Xavier, who, has really reached the sort of like pinnacle of this guy is out of here. You even got into it a little bit with him, about this topic. What was the thought process behind wanting the veto used on you in the first place? And then, you know, from there, like, were you seeing how much damage it was doing to your game?
No. So I'd say that would be my lack of communication in terms of, being able to distinguish between discussing options versus like selling an option. So the night before I was like, all right, Sarah Beth, like, will probably be more calm if I come off the block, then she'll be less stressed out. That was kind of my initial thought. And so that's when I started selling that to ideas, like talking to Tiffany about it the night before. I was talking to, and then I was like, this is the frustrating part sometimes is that, you know, I'm talking to Xavier about it before I talk to Chata about it. And he's like saying, actually, I think that like, when I look at Christian, like, and I know how that was, I think there's a chance to like, she might feel better if it is used on me or like not used on you. And I was like, you know what? Like at first she said the otherwise. So let me consider that. Like, let me talk to her about that. And then, so in that moment, like I felt good. I was like, you know what? Like, if that's how my conversation with Sarah Beth goes, then that's what I'm going to advocate for is like, hey, what's going to give us the least chaotic game? What's going to give us the least stressful game for her and for the whole house? Because you don't want, you know, we don't want stressful campaigning happening like we've seen in some other weeks. And that's where my mind was at. My mind was pretty chill on it after that. I was just like, all right, yeah, let me find out. And then, so then I sat with Chata and I'm like, okay, here's how this would look. What do you think this would be like? And so we have a whole conversation about the veto, which is funny because she talked about like, oh, well, like if I do use it on you, then you'd be good to use it on me through five. And I was like, yeah, like that's something we can do too, which, you know, may have been a good thing that we had set up. We had joked about it after. But in that conversation, it was very much like me just discussing like this as like, what would this look like? Okay, cool. Like, this is enough information. Let me know what Claire thinks about it. I'll talk to Claire about it. And in that conversation, I'm like having that conversation, but I'm like, well, obviously I still have to talk to Sarah Beth and find out if she actually does feel better. What would make her feel less stressed out this week? Because if she's less stressed, the house will be less stressed. And if the house is less stressed, that's good for all of us. So that was where it's frustrating, you know, in the game when it's just like, oh, people could have just said something. You're just like, hey, like, I don't like this. And it's like, oh yeah, no, this is evaluating options. This is why. And then I talk to Sarah Beth, she says that. So then she, you know, me and her have a long conversation. Cause once again, it's the subtlety of like, all right, I can't just ask you. I can't let you know I have any, you know, possible contributions into how the veto gets used. Or at least an in with those people. Cause that decision, you know, I'm not taking that decision away from Chad as being her coming to that decision on her own quicker. But it was just like, all right, let me find out. And Sarah Beth was like, yeah, like, actually, I think I'd be less stressed this way. I'm like, cool, that's good to know. As a hypothetical. And then I like went to tell, I couldn't find Chada because she was sick. So I just told Xavier, at least I think she was sick. I don't know. So I told Xavier, hey, let her know, like, I'm 100% behind. Like, I think that it is best if she's on you. And that morning, which I guess didn't show, I saw Chada as we were getting ready for the ceremony and said her the same thing. I was like, hey, and she's like, oh yeah, for that. Good. Like, we're all on the same page type of deal. Like, she had already made up her mind anyways, but it worked out because that was the decision that worked out for all of us. So, and for me, that was, once again, my mindset was like, no, I don't care about what's good. Like, what's good for the six, like that. And that was good for the six. So, I think other people maybe not necessarily being, you know, that intense in it, in that same mindset, which it makes sense. Cause it's a game where you're supposed to like look out for yourself, especially by that point. Is why I wasn't able to see like, oh, this is how this would make this person feel. I was just kind of naively thinking like, no, like, why would they care? Like, we're all on the same team.
Mm-hmm. So it's around this time that, that Tiffany is really hoping for at least a final three or at least a final four, if not a final three of, you, Chada and herself, with ideally Big D going out first, followed by, you know, Xavier or Azza. And it's around this time that she wins this, her second HOH. And that's when Xavier, who for a while now has been like, Highland is going first, once we get to six, starts to go, wait a minute, Tiffany, how dare you win this HOH? And he is very upset with her and starts looking at wanting to take her out, at six. And this is when it seemed that, that your involvement in the end game plans, where initially you had talked about wanting to go to the end with potentially both Xavier and, Tiffany, you talked with Sarah Beth about that. And it seemed to shift into a, position where, I think sort of to hear you explain it, you felt like you probably had to choose between the two of them since they were going after each other.
Yeah.
And ultimately you choose Xavier. Where is it exactly that you make that choice?
I mean, that's the thing that it was very adaptive in terms of like every moment of the game. So like when I am, part of it, funny enough, was actually in the diary room where I really started to consider it. Cause I was like, I'm locked in on Tiffany. Like, I don't like that she did this, but she told me it's not because she doesn't trust me. She told me it's because that was my first thought when she didn't throw the HOH to me. Cause I thought we were both throwing it to Azza. And then as soon as she didn't drop, I was like, okay, maybe she doesn't trust Azza and she wants to throw it to me, or something else, but like, that's fine. Like that's fine. We can do that. And also, I guess it didn't show right before that competition, the day before she had said, hey, you know what? It'll be Claire first and then Alyssa. And then at least that's what she told me. And I was like surprised because I kind of thought that she would feel differently. And, Xavier and Big D, and Azza all thought she would feel differently. And, but then she was kind of like, hey, no, I agree. Like, this is the right choice. And I was like, cool. Immediately before the competition, Flying Bivinos, she stops me in the open room. And I think all the cameras are shut off then, or maybe not, because nobody has seemed to know that this happened. She said, hey, I'm rethinking this. And Tiffany, like, you know, I'm sure that she thought this much sooner than this moment. And she's like, I think like I do want to keep Claire around this week. And I was just like, cool. Like, all right, like let's like I'm with you. So I don't know if this is the right move, but if you need me to win, if you don't throw it to Azza, then I can win and I can put up both of them. And then we as a team can talk about and evaluate what is our actual best decision here in this moment. And that was my thought mindset. I was like, hey, like, I'll support you. Like we can figure out everything with the group. So we go out there and then, you know, it's not being thrown to me. And I'm like, oh, she didn't trust me to do what she wanted to do with it. And so, cause I'm sitting on the rope, I'm like, you know, bouncing off the elf, I'm spinning on it. I'm just like, hey, like, what am I going to do to like push myself off of this? And then I'm looking and I'm like, wait a second, why is she holding on? I thought she was going to get off. And I was like, okay, maybe she wants me to win. By then, like I'd already kind of started moving my feet around. So it was just like such a frustrating thing. I was like, people are turning against you in this house and I am not, and you didn't trust me in this moment. And I was kind of confused. And then she said, hey, like, you know, it's not that I don't trust you. Honestly, I just wanted to win this. Like I wanted to have the second, not only did I want to save Claire, but like I had this opportunity to win back-to-back HOHs. No one's ever done that in history. And I even say to her, and I was just like, honestly, like, I don't know if it was the right decision, but no one else had the opportunity to make that decision. So no one can really say what they would have done. And I believe that. And so X is, you know, blowing up on it. And I just kind of like am pacifying that. I'm like, hey, yeah, you know what? That sucks. It's messed up. And like to a point, like it is, I'm like, hey, I get it. Like you're frustrated. You just went on the block multiple times. I've been on the block multiple times. Like we've put out allies that are good for us at multiple moments. This is frustrating. I get it. But we didn't have that same decision. So like, you know, I get that too. And like, let's say cool. And like, don't, she's expecting you to be mad. Don't be mad. And when I talk to her, I'm telling her about this because she's still in her mind. I'm like, hey, here's what he's feeling. And like, here's what he's saying. And like, honestly, he does have some valid points. And then she says to me, something along the lines of like, you know, cause I was like, hey, he's like put aside his personal game at all these moments back to back in these moments. And he kind of feels, you know, upset about this. And she's like, well, no one told him to do that. That was his choice. And I was like, okay. And funny enough, like I left that conversation upset about it. And then I was in the diary room, like later on, and I was sitting there and I was talking and I like literally stopped whatever I was talking about with them. And in my head was like, it's kind of a messed up thing to say. And I was like, where does the end of that thinking go? Does that extend to everyone in the game or just to Xavier? Because I was in that moment, I was like, I also knew that both of us had told him that he needed to beat Claire in like the HOH where he had to pick third nominee. So be like, that was his choice. It's like, no, that was the choice for the team. And so why would, if you're going to rationalize that for him, like, and just say, hey, everyone's going to make their own choices, like whether it's for the team or not, like that's on them if they do it. I was like, that was kind of messed up. And that was probably the first real wedge. It wasn't even when she said it. It was when I reflected on it. And I was like, that was kind of messed up. So then we go into the HOH and I'm talking to both of them. And I'm still like, yes to both of them because I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I think that's what I realized in the game is that people, for myself at least, is true. And I think for a lot of other people, it's much more common that you change your mind than that you lie. And so I was like talking to Chada and Tiffany, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm talking to Xavier and them, and both of them are already know what the other group is saying. And I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, I'm gonna deal with Ozzy because I'm like covering the ends because now we're at six by this point. And but yeah, oh, sorry, going back, I was supporting Tiffany even after that happened because she wants to tell. We have this whole thing where Oz wants to tell everybody, mm-hmm. not everybody, but Claire and Alyssa. And I'm like, that could work, but then Xavier brings up, he's like, Alyssa's not like that. She's not going to be okay with that. I was like, honestly, I don't agree with that. I wish that I had the opportunity that you have now with Sarah Beth or with Derek or with anybody, but I committed to, I will always give the person who is the duo partner the final say on what their person is on that person, on what they would say or how they would receive something. So if you're saying that she's not going to receive it well, and that's going to be dangerous for us, then I will support that. And because I would support that for anybody. And I did that for Claire and for Tiffany. And so Tiffany was like, hey, I want to tell Claire this then. And I was like, okay, like that sounds good to me. I will back you on that. Let's talk about it and figure out how to say it. And then I go downstairs, Claire goes inside, and I was like, she's definitely about to tell her right now. I need to make sure that at least Xavier is okay, is on the same board with this plan. So I go down, I'm talking to him, I'm getting him enrolled, because I know in my head, I'm like, she's telling Claire right now, regardless of whether or not how this conversation goes. I need this conversation to go well. And then it, and it does. And so he's on board. So by the time we get up there, she, or at least to me, says he's on board. So she had told Claire and kept it like as a personal decision. And that week goes on. And so that's when it was the, you know, the support continued. And it was literally until basically, even after I won the HOH, and I still had to have conversations to kind of decide what I really wanted to do.
Well, yeah. So, you know, it's soon after you win that HOH that you make the gentleman, alliance with Xavier. I mean, would you say that, like if you were to say there was, you know, one primary main cause of you moving away from Tiffany, would it be what you just described, essentially that, you felt like she, would you say that you were hurt by the fact that she didn't trust you with the HOH, and that she felt like that she was that Xavier shouldn't be upset with her for winning that HOH?
No, it was when she that was all hurt, but she told me, hey, it wasn't because I didn't trust you, and I believed her. I don't know if that's true or not, but I believed her. After that, at that stage, it was kind of like, okay, so what I know is that you, like, you know, are you're telling me about these actions done against me throughout the game is what she's telling me about. And I'm like, so then I had to evaluate, is everything that you're telling me right now true? Because you just told me, you know, she's on the block. This is after I won the veto, I think, or before, I don't remember. So, oh, sorry, that's what happened. So during my HOH, before I make nominations, I have my one-on-ones. Tiffany starts telling me some of the things, and I'm like, you're not telling me everything. And I know this, and I'm waiting to find out, like, when is she going to tell me the rest? She doesn't. So I'm like, okay. That is, you know, not great in terms of the person that I want to go to the end with. And so I'm looking at the two of them. I'm like, well, you know, I can still go to the end with Tiffany and X, if I can figure out a way to make that possible. And then I decide, like, okay, I can't look at bringing final three anymore. I have to look at two, because it's going to be really hard if they're both going at each other.
Well, I would have, I guess, a couple of questions. One would be, because it felt, to me at least, watching that even going into conversations with Tiffany, sort of like, you know, there's a very big difference between how you approached Xavier, which was like, you know, before he even said anything, hey, I want to work with you, let's gentleman final two, versus Tiffany, which was much more of kind of like, it felt like one final sort of test, or like sort of like one final like opportunity for her to turn things around, because the momentum had already shifted in that direction. Whereas, because I mean, if you had approached Xavier in the same way, you probably would have seen that he saw things very similarly, right? So so it felt like the thrust was already there.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that the reason for that just had to do with history. So I had no personal relationship with Xavier. Mm-hmm. I had a personal relationship with Tiffany, a very deep one, where I stayed committed to her and took heat for her throughout the entire season. And so I didn't do that with Xavier. So it was much easier for me to be like, hey, you, to my knowledge, have been telling me the truth. When I ask you things, I ask, you know, and you've acknowledged, like, you know, how you're saying you're targeting me, or other conversations that you've had. There was one thing, you know, I didn't love, you didn't tell me the truth about Alyssa targeting me. But other than that, like, you've been doing this. I have a deeper personal relationship. I have a much longer relationship. I have a much closer relationship. And now I have this stack of this many things, not just that one time that you didn't tell me about Alyssa. So when at that point, it's like, yeah, I'm approaching conversations differently, because to the perception that I had in the house, they were very different conversations to have, I guess, like, very different relationships to have.
When did things change to from I would love to go to the end with the both of them, or I would love to, you know, Tiffany's my number one, yeah, to now I'm comparing sort of like the wrongs done to me by Tiffany and Xavier?
Well, it's not comparing the wrongs done to me. It's comparing who can I trust to go to the end with? Because once I got to six, I was like, okay, I thought I could move. I thought I had enough abilities to move whichever three of us to the end I wanted to. That is no longer the case. I'm going to have to pick one person. And so I was like, can I pick Tiffany or can I pick Xavier? And for me, there was two factors to it. Part of it was, where is their competitiveness in terms of like winning the game? So that was where I got myself in a lot of trouble, because I was looking at, I shouldn't say got myself in a lot of trouble, because I would say that's justified, but it was very much like me not being able to convey multiple thoughts at once in one time was me talking about like representation in terms of like, hey, I want to figure out how do we get our winner to be like, who's the best player in the house type of deal. And let me find out who, from our perception inside, who that is and who's most likely to win the game. And definitely poorly spoke and painted Tiffany as not being a good representation, which I feel completely the opposite about in terms of as a person, as a mother in every regard, and obviously incredible player in the game and phenomenal representation of a game player, of first African-American player, first African-American female player, all those things. And so that has been important to me to like clarify that that's not, that I don't feel, you know, that for me looking at the end, it was much more like, okay, who does everyone think is going to win? And I thought for most of the game, Tiffany, Xavier, and then towards the end, I was like, well, you know, I think I have a strong case too. Like, yeah, I threw out my social game, but like that was clearly necessary for the six of us to get to the end. I say clearly, I shouldn't say clearly necessary, as I said, no absolutes, but like arguably necessary. Because I'm also the only person who, from jury to until my own eviction, I was the only person who had the eviction that I wanted to happen every time between all six of us. Somebody at some point wanted somebody else to go than I did, and the person I wanted to go left. And so that is, so I thought that had a strong case, along with the fact that like, you know, because and six of us getting to the end and like having those decision abilities, so I was like, okay, so the three of us is where I was looking at that moment. And so then I was trying to figure out, okay, how, which, you know, which one of us isn't afraid to sit next to one of the other two, part one is part of it. And then the other part of it was, which one of us who do they think is more likely to win for all of those scenarios? And I went to Tiffany and I was like, I'm pretty sure that, like, who do you think would win? Because everyone in the house that wasn't part of the cookout was thinking Xavier would win. But I was like, well, yeah, they don't know that we're all working together. So they have no idea like what we've been doing. But that was everyone's perception, was like Xavier's going to win. So then, you know, I was like, okay, I know that. And then, so let me ask within the six. And then specifically the main factor being the people who I felt were most aware of what was going on throughout the game. And that was Chada and Tiffany. And they both were like, no, Xavier's going to win if he gets to the end. And so in my head, I was like, well, then he should get to the end, like if he's going to win. And so I'm like, okay, who's his biggest competition? They're like, you are. And I was like, oh, like I would have thought it would have been Tiffany. And they're like, no. And Tiffany shows me the vote. She's like, here's how you'd beat me. Here's how you'd beat Xavier. And I'm like, I don't know about that, because I'm pretty sure that like, there's nothing that I was like, you're counting SB as a vote for me. I can tell you she's probably not. So we have that conversation and I'm like, okay, so I guess it should be me and Xavier. And that's why I was like kind of difficult, because afterwards they're telling me about how like, oh no, like it should have been like you and Tiffany or Tiffany and Xavier or whatever. And it's like, but they thought that I wasn't serious when I said that I don't mind sitting next to someone and losing to them. And so that was kind of like our disconnect, is that nobody realized, like a lot of people go in the house and they're like, yeah, I'd beat Cody in 16 and I'd take Derek even if I know he's gonna beat me, because like he's my person and he's great and he deserves it. And but I apparently I was the only person in the house that meant that. So very reasonably they thought that I didn't mean it. And that's how they answered their questions accordingly.
Well, I mean, I think even if you do believe that you're willing to go to the end with somebody and lose, you'd still want to say that this other person is the even bigger threat. And I think the hope would be that, you know, my relationship with Kyland is such that, you know, that he would want to go to the end with me, regardless of whether he wins or loses. And then, you know, extra sprinkles on top, he definitely loses to Xavier. Maybe he can beat me. That, which is usually sort of how,
no, that
it's
is
presented.
Usually,
yeah.
I was not playing a usual game. And I mm-hmm. think that was not, you know, us not being, me not being able to convey that more clearly, I guess, was kind of, like I said, my, which is why I'm like, oh man, if me and Tiffany stayed close, going back like week three or whatever, then she would have known that I meant it. And in that moment, I think that we would have had a different conversation and would have been like, hey, no, like we do need to, cause I felt like good when she was like, hey, we can Mickey and Holly our way to the end. I was like, well, I know I'm going to have to do that with one of you too. In my head, I don't know which two. And, cause I figured by that point, everyone else would want to take out, any one of us, whichever two it was, whether it was me and X or me and Tiffany. And so, but that was the downfall, is that like, I just wasn't playing a normal, I wasn't playing normal.
Okay. So can I also ask about, the notion that, that Tiffany and Xavier, essentially couldn't coexist, that you couldn't bring them to the final mm-hmm. three. Why exactly is that? Because you were in power, week six, yeah. right? So, you know, heading into week five, theoretically, if they're both going to take a shot at each other, and that shot lands, then, in some ways you're kind of, you know, you're not just kind of, you know, trying to decide who's the better player. You're sort of allowing, the course of the game to determine who's the better player between the two of them. If they end up targeting each other, and if not, you may be able to bring them both to the end anyway. Why not take that route?
Because essentially at that point I was like, okay, I'm in power right now. So I'm about to not be in power. So do I want, the fact that they're willing to target each other, they'd probably be willing to target me. So if the, so I was like, okay, now I can't look at bringing three, and I don't mind having one of them with me, knowing that they were going to target me. Cause if Tiffany had told me like, hey, like, you know what, I'm afraid to sit next to you, but like, I do deserve to win this game and I would beat you or Xavier in the vote, I would have been like, all right, then I guess I got to bring you. Like that's just how I felt in that. And I just really felt that way. I just felt for a variety of reasons, and it's insane and I know it, but, so many things to break down there. But
once Tiffany's out of the game, you know, if you're worried that Xavier might target you with Tiffany in the game, now Xavier has no bigger target to remove other than you, right? So like if you keep both of them in the game, then they both have to continue to look at each other until one of the other is gone.
I looked at it more as them two looking at me together, as opposed to me looking against one of them. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah, I guess that could be the sense of like keeping in a shield, but like, you know, every shield is a threat. So it's just like, okay, do I want to, I got the sense by that point, I was like, nobody's completely on the same page as me, but I kind of feel maybe that Xavier might be down to like sit at the end and not afraid to lose. And Tiffany, like, you know, has, might be, might not, seemingly not, but both of them, I didn't have confidence in that sort of mindset. Like, okay, they are 100% down to sit next to someone and potentially lose. So, I knew that there was some element of needing to protect myself. And so I was like, okay, is it easier for me to protect myself against both of the strongest players in the house or one of them? And so it just was one of them. And so I was like, okay, that's what, how to pick which one. And I was like, okay, this one, the one that is, that they're telling me is more likely to win.
Mm-hmm. Talk me more through the decision as well. The one that we're talking about, the decision to want to go to the end with the best player, whether it means you win or lose, because obviously, like from my perspective, you were a very effective player at many times, but ultimately, you know, if this is sort of like how you structure your end game, you're putting yourself in a very difficult position to ever win the game, right? But that doesn't seem to be necessarily the goal for you, which again, like, you know, really, really throws off analysis at times. But you know, you talked to Sarah Beth about this and you said, like, this is more about long-term thinking. It's about being consistent to, who I am in the game, outside of the game. But do you feel like, do you think that that this motivation, was successful? Do you feel like you accomplished, that goal?
I mean, on a personal, like, for my own, accomplish the goal of having this win, or accomplish the goal of, like, going up to the challenge of trying to do that?
I guess, like, if when you describe it as, like, this is long-term thinking, this is me, you know, accomplishing my goal of creating the best possible Final Two, you know, and this is how I'm going to achieve that goal. Do you think that that was a success? Do you think it ended up as a success?
I would say that, no, I didn't successfully get the top players in the Final Two. But for me, it's like, you know, we can never control the result, but we can control the effort. And so that was the mountain that I was climbing. And, you know, I'd always rather die, you know, climbing the mountain than just never trying. And I got really close. And so at the end of the day, if I could have won either the last HOH or the last veto, there's a good chance I would have been able to move forward in the game in that moment. And like I said, for me, my biggest miscalculation was getting close enough with Tiffany, earlier in the game, that then I could have, and then she could have told me I was, you know, that it should have been her, and then could have been me and her going to the, and maybe we would have made it to the end, or maybe she would have cut me for Chata, as a lot of people have felt committed to that she would do. But regardless, I think that I could have, it's like at that stage, I'm off by like one competition, because if I won, you know, that HOH, that veto, against pretty much anyone in the house, I think I had a pretty good odds of winning that last HOH. Especially if we look at like the competition record between times that me and X compete against each other, or me, sorry, I guess X wouldn't be there in this scenario, but me and Chata and me and Tiffany and the types of competitions that they were, I feel pretty confident that I had a good shot. And so it's like, I didn't do it, but I got really close to doing it, to accomplishing that goal. And the game is hard, and the game with, you know, where there is, where there are so many factors, like we got the main goal of getting the sixth list to the end. And that feels like an incredible accomplishment. To have the role in it that I did feels like a great accomplishment, to be able to make those certain decisions that, you know, I did get to make that, like I said, regardless if they were the best decision, no one can say they were the wrong decision because it worked. And so that for me is, that for me, it feels like the accomplishment. And I'd say, yeah, my biggest thing was like, oh man, I wish that I could have got us on the same page, and then it could have been, and then, you know, that part could have played out differently, and we could have accomplished, you know, getting the final two to the ones that we want. However, I like to also specify that I'm only defining my definition of, you know, best or top players in the game, because somebody's looking at Steve Moses or Derek Lavassier or Andy Heron or, you know, Vanessa Russo or people who didn't win the air, all these people, and they're going to have their own opinions on like what's best. And like, I don't think that's for anybody. I'm not going to argue with somebody else's opinion, because it's my opinion too. This is my opinion. And also, this was how I wanted to play this game. And it's not how I would play any other game too. Like, if I was playing by myself, or if we didn't have the cookout, we didn't have all these things, I would have made different moves, because it would have just been about winning. And in this moment, I had a way that I wanted to win, and I tried, and I got close, and that's, I don't know, for me, like, I've never watched the movie 300 and been like, oh yeah, like Leonidas and all of them, they really lost. Like they're real big losers. Like, cause they die. It's like, no, you're chasing after something and maybe you don't get it, but you, what does that mean for the future? I'm also very optimistic that, like, okay, whatever mindset made me make that decision, if I can apply that same mindset of like going for something bigger than myself, going for something more challenging, maybe that will play out in a better positive way. And when I zoom out to a year from now, 5 years from now, I'm like, it looks pretty good. And so whatever hardships had to happen, whatever hardships did happen, they had to happen. And that's how I'm trying to take it. And that's how I'm trying to take everything that happened in the game, because that's what I've done before the game.
What lessons would you say you've learned? And like how, you know, let's say you're able to approach the game now, same game, but with the knowledge you currently have, how would you approach accomplishing your goals with the knowledge you have now?
I'd say, I'd probably say two things. One would be, communication language in terms of, one preface I've used, like, so I started working with a doctor outside the house for like adult ADHD, just in terms of like the social dynamic situation that happens. Cause sometimes like I'll speak super unemotionally maybe, and not as, you know, friendly as I would like to. And normally, like I said, for the most part, I'm pretty good at it. It's very intentional for me, but like sometimes just cause the way my mind's racing, like I lose sight of it and I don't notice it. And so a preface that my doctor worked at is I have conversations with people. I'm like, hey, I'm going to say something to you the only way I know how to say it. And if it comes off as like rude, like, you know, please let me know so I can fix it. Because I think I always hate when people say like, oh, I speak very blunt or I speak directly. Like, cause it's like, no, like you can, that is throwing off all accountability. So it's like, for me, I'm like, hey, outside the house, I'll normally say, let me know if this is how I know how to say this, but if it's coming off as like rude or mean, or it's making you feel bad or making it seem like I'm saying something bad, let me know so I can try better. Cause that's not what I'm trying to do right now. I didn't bring that into the house with me because I forgot, because I was caught up in everything else. And so I wish I brought that into the house. Cause then maybe whether it was Brittany or anyone else in the house that felt like condescending, like I could have had the opportunity to preface it and to hopefully avoid them feeling that way. So that's something I feel, like I said, super regrettable about, because I never want to make people feel that way. The second thing would be what I've said throughout the conversation, which is like just building with Tiffany, because building the bond with Tiffany more, that way we both felt it was as tight as I thought it was. And if we both felt it was as tight as I thought it was, there would have been, you know, she wouldn't have, you know, added in the wedge between me and Chad, and then the three of us could have been on a different page. Or like maybe, you know, with Derek X, with Claire, with all these things, maybe we wouldn't even need the jury management, because we would have been, I've been like, hey, I'll manage this side of the house and then you manage that side. And then, you know, we get to the end or whatever it is. And regardless, at the point, I think if we had a different bond, when we got to the end there, we would have been in a place where it would be like, hey, like, you know, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat X, like, you know, but I should be there. And I'd be like, hey, I told you I'm fine with that. And I meant it from the beginning and I still mean it now. Let's do that. Let's get us to the end. And then we would have done that. And so for me, it's like, if I had the foresight to do that, those would be the two things I would have wanted to change.
Do you feel like you've, because I think a lot of people play the game and they feel like they learn a lot about themselves. You are a very, I think, introspective person. And it's something I really appreciate about you, actually. You're very analytical about the way that you sort of interact, and the way that you're conscious of certain biases and things. Do you feel like you've learned a lot about yourself and how you interact with people and how people respond to you?
I'd say definitely yes. The game, internally, you get to highlight all of your strengths, all your weaknesses in terms of dealing with people and dealing with yourself, because you are cut off from all the extra distractions of the world, and you are exposed to people 24/7. So it's such a unique experience in terms of. And then you have, you know, I'm somebody who's in general tends to be pretty good at communications, like has a background like conflict resolution and, you know, really good in, but I've never been exposed, to any situation for this amount of time. And at this high level of thinking and complexity, the fact that we're all competitors against each other, and then we have the cookout and everything else on top of that, this game. So you get to find out like, where are those weak points. And I am somebody who loves to grow and loves to look at them and like, and loves to find out, you know, when, because I am thinking, you know, in general, before I act, before I speak, I try to, for me, it is great to have an opportunity to learn more about how to just be better. And so I am very intentional about making people feel comfortable about, you know, trying to be progressive, whether and try to pay attention to implicit biases and all these things and that I think are important. And if we just look out for each other better. And so I had an opportunity to now see ways I came short of that. But then also at the same time, I got to see more of the complexity of the game. Like which was a great reminder of like not judging, because I know I came into the game and week one was like, we had a great conversation. I think week two, actually, in our HOH, where a lot of us were in the room and we were like, oh my gosh, like how much more respect do we have for every single person that we've ever like said something bad about their game for now being in the house? We're like, almost every single person that I've ever said anything like negative or judging of their game, I'm like, wow, this is a million times harder than I thought it was. I'm sorry for saying those things. I was wrong. And so now we had that thing with the players, and then I get out of the house and I have that thing with everyone, because it's like, yeah, like we, even when you, first off, nobody's being examined this way. But then second off, like we just never know what somebody's thinking or what somebody meant or what conversations were had, or like, I know me and Tiffany had a conversation once where we didn't find out until we were watching it. We were having totally two different conversations. Like she was upset about one thing in terms of she thought I was defending like Sarah Beth and Xavier. And I was literally like talking to her and didn't even think about them in my mind. And it was just that highlight, that reminder of like, oh wait, there's just so much misunderstanding, like maybe the conflict or like perspective, or people are watching the game and they're like, hey, why didn't you do this, you know, for Tiffany or whatever, and say this. I'm like, oh, cause I talked to her and she told me not to, like, or I talked to this person and they told me to do this or whatever. And, so it's like finding out how to navigate when you get this new information and when you're under, we were literally, almost literally or figuratively under a microscope. And so now more than all but 300 out of the 7 billion people in the world get to experience. So it was like, now I get to know, okay, under a microscope, I got to see my strengths, which was really great and great for my confidence. But then also my weaknesses. And then I get to hear now on everyone's different perspectives on those. And, which for me has been, you know, great for learning and for helping to make the difference in the world that I want to make, even into even more effectively.
Well, so how have you handled the response to your game? Because I think there are a lot of people that do respect the things that you did well, but there are also, of course, a lot of people who did not appreciate especially the end game, and then especially how things were left with Xavier. I'm sure you're hearing a lot, and it's kind of, I know from talking to previous players, like it's very difficult to really properly take in information and learn when it's like there's so many voices that it's impossible to hear one distinct one. So how are you sort of approaching that, and how are you handling the sort of like overwhelming internet presence that a lot of players go through?
I've been very fortunate in like three ways. I'd say number one is my parents, my family raised, did an incredible job of like helping us navigate the world in terms of like, hey, there's always going to be, voices that might speak negatively about you. And like, it's important to learn where you can, but to not let it like, define you. And so very fortunate in that like self-esteem aspect from the parents. Number two is that before I lived in the house, I lived in another house with like 14 people in Venice. And a lot of them were like influencers and creators and stuff like that, which is not at all the world that I ever pictured for myself. But they would tell me, they had a phrase, they said that the negative voices are louder and more intense, but also far fewer than the positive voices for anything that you do when you have that many eyes looking at you. And so they would talk about, all the negative responses that they get. And so I kind of had that prep in my mind in terms of like, okay, cool. And that's what I've noticed is that, I haven't gone back to certain moments. I'm sure it fluctuated, but overall, since I've been out, like you see the negative messages, but it's really easy to get caught on them. And from that combination of my parents and my friends, I haven't found myself caught on them. And the third thing I would say that really helps me with that is the support that we have within our cast. Like, past players have been super helpful as well, but like unity within our cast, especially in the cookout, in terms of like, hey, like, you know, this is, we have been able to separate like the game and the personal element, and we've been able to have the conversations and see the things and build a bond that helps us understand each other better than anyone else. Like when I talked to, Xavier after the game, even, he was just like, hey, like I understand your perspective. And like he said that when he went home, the first after we had talked, cause he didn't know in the house, neither one of us knew, because we're cut off from the world, that like we had very different perspectives on that conversation when I was leaving. And so it wasn't until finale night when I answered Julia that he actually saw that, like, oh, okay, he was in Kylan's like perspective. And so he said that when he went home, he told his family, like, hey, I spent a lot of time with this guy. I can tell you almost with certainty, because we haven't gotten to sit down yet. He's like, the way that I took it, the way that America took it, was not probably how he was, not what he meant to convey. Which of course just makes me love the guy even more, because he's all right, like my brother. But like he came back and we were talking and he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. I'm so sorry. Like this, I had no idea. And you know, I'm here for like your family and everything too, to make sure that they know. And it was just like, for us, it was just like, no, of course. Like we're family. Like we got to understand each other all on this deeper level that, we can look at like, hey, I know that these things are said or these things, internally. And so now navigating that world, that's been my benefit. My only, the uphill part of it that I'm still working on is just like, hey, like how do we balance that line now between, it's really easy for us to say like, hey, this is between us. So like, we're going to talk and we don't have to share any of this with anybody. But then also recognize that like the reality is that we're on a platform. And so one thing I've talked about now since is that if people are, you know, if people are speaking out, like, of course, there's going to be tons of people that are just, that want to be angry, want to be upset or want to troll or whatever. And those ones, I have no problem like hitting the block or ignoring or whatever. But if somebody's saying something, like, it's probably because they're hurting and they see that you have a platform that they don't, and they want themselves and the people they care about to grow up in a world where they're not dealing with some of the challenges and struggles that, that they did, whether it's, you know, oppression from men or from, you know, whether it's racist classisms or classist or, you know, sexist or whatever it happens to be, they care. And so it's trying to navigate the online world to find the voices who care, find the voices who, you know, want to collaborate and want to figure out, okay, like I can't do everything, but you know, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And so for me, I'm like, hey, I get to do something. I have a little tiny bit of a voice, you know, but significantly more than I did before going in the house. And how can I use that to actually, you know, create the positive effects that I want, that everyone else wants? Not that everyone else wants, because everyone else wants different things, but do the best I can to create that positive effect. And so I think having those three areas of support, and then having, you know, using those to look at the attention through that lens and to turn it into something more productive and better for everyone, for as many people as I can, is something I feel very fortunate about.
What have you come up with? Like, what is the response? What do you say to those people who are looking, I guess, for answers from you?
Number one is just a matter of patience, I guess. And the fact that, I guess it's like patience and grace, and not like, you know, any sort of forgiveness towards me as an individual, but more towards the fact that we all have our own perspective. So like, there have been people that have asked, you know, on social, like for me to do things like for someone else from the cast, and that person in the cast is like, please don't do that. Like, and so it's like, okay. So it's kind of asking those people, you know, to kind of be like, hey, take a second, as I'm taking, to consider that the things that you want in your perspective may not be actually the most as significant as you think it is, or as important as you think it is. It may not even be the right move. And so, but then figure out like who, what can you do in your own world, in your own influence, in your own sphere to make the positive difference that you want to make in the world? Because that's what I'm doing. And so what I'm doing is like, and once again, in the, as within the house, like, might it be optimal at all times? I can't say, but neither can you. No one can really say what's going to be optimal, because you're going to have a different opinion than I'm going to have. And I'm going to talk to, as I already have, like one, you know, person that is, you know, has a master's or PhD in women's studies and in, you know, psychology, and another one, and they're going to have two different solutions and two different conflicting ideas of what to do moving forward to have the positive impact, you know, as a feminist in the world like that I can. And so recognize that as you're saying this thing is the right thing to do, and someone else might have a different opinion, and like both or neither of you might be right, because it might just be serving different people. And as far as collaboration, like, you know, people who are coming, you know, in earnest for collaboration, and like, I'm going through the DMs, I'm going through the messages as best I can. But overwhelmingly, like I said, everything has been super positive for myself, for the cookout as a whole, and for the season as a whole, and our support for each other has, I think, played a role. And so, I'm very thankful for both of the sides. I'm thankful for all the love, and I'm thankful for any of the voices that have a genuine interest in growth for myself and for others.
All right. Well, let's one final question. Tell me about the impact that that the cookout has on you, and that you hoped that it would have on other people. It had a mission that touched a lot of people, that meant a lot to a lot of people, and you were a big part in accomplishing that mission. How does it feel to have been a part of that?
I mean, it's the coolest thing. Like, it feels incredible, because the things I mentioned in the game, like, oh, you know, maybe those changes and stuff, but going into the house before I knew who was going to be there, before I knew what was going to happen, I could have never imagined that we'd have this opportunity. And so it exceeded all of my expectations, both, like I said, in terms of how hard it was, but how much fun it was. And then also the fact that we got to do this in this way, like, I get goosebumps right now as I talk about it, because it was such a display of collaboration and unity. And, you know, it was like a moment of Black excellence on a national stage. And we worked together as a team and accomplished, you know, what other people had the opportunity to do and just didn't, and weren't able to. And we were imperfect, in our approach and in our day to day, but also flawless in the fact that all six made it intact. And so that was, it was beautiful to achieve that on such a high level, on such a big stage. And, yesterday I was literally just sitting there with, I was having lunch with like this manager, and this guy, is a older Black male that stopped me and was just like, "Hey, like, seeing what you guys did, like, really, it meant a lot for the culture, for all of us." And I was like, I mean, I don't know how big we should really make it, because, you know, it is a TV show at the end of the day. But like, I also know how deeply true that is, mm-hmm. because I would see somebody achieve in a high school basketball game or whatever, like, or, you know, any level, and I knew that it made a difference. And whenever you see, you know, somebody looks like you achieving it at a high level in any capacity, in this place, we got to see them not just achieve, but also work together. And that was really special too, because it's that reminder of like, you know, all groups, you know, can achieve more together. And the unity that outside the cast, outside the cookout, the rest of the cast has had with the mission, has added that other level of like, hey, there are bigger things than just this game. And there is something to be said about unity. And, that extension of unity outside the cookout even has been that reminder of all that we can do, you know, when we support each other and when we work towards common goals. And so both inside the cookout, that connection, outside the cookout for the Black community in America. And like, and then the fact that we had diversity within the six of us, like, that's what people forget. It's like Black people aren't a monolith. Like, we had such different personalities, such different backgrounds, such different like differences between us. And that was really special too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kylan, for your time. You can, where can people, find you if they're looking to catch up with you?
I'm on the socials, Instagram, still Kylan Young. And that's mainly where I spend my time. I have a TikTok where I fail at trying any of the dances on TikTok really badly. And Chada laughs at me. But that is, that one's Kylan.Young. And that's pretty much it. And my email's on my Instagram page. Right now I'm, you know, talking about a lot of different opportunities, to continue to find ways to have positive impact in the things I care about. So that's what I'm excited about. And that's where you can reach me. And I'm excited to connect with people. And also on Twitter, as always, you know, the tags and the DMs help us start conversations there. I think are important. And yeah.
All right. Well, you can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, or on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You know, hopefully more of these postseason interviews coming your way. Make sure you subscribe to see if we have any. Thank you guys so much for listening, and see you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.